Hi. I'm Steve. Some of you may not know me, but you'll get to know me, and you might say, why don't you take 3 more months off? Just really want to thank everybody. I want you to notice, too, I got my shirt tucked in for Easter. I just don't want you to get used to it. It's not the new me, okay? I'm so excited. I'm so excited, so thrilled to be preaching today here at my home church, and just so grateful for all that you all have done for my wife and I, Beverly and I, over the last few months. And we're just so grateful for the support and the love and the prayers and the food and the cards and all the stuff. It's nice to be loved, and we're just really, really grateful for it. That's not what today is about. Today is about the most consequential event in human history. It's about the resurrection of Jesus. And I know that it may not be immediately apparent, because in probably three gatherings that we have, we might on Easter Sunday, we might exceed 500 or so people who have gathered together. But also, I think we need to recognize that around the world, there are multiple billions of people who are celebrating this same event that we're celebrating today. All over this globe of ours, it is the foundational event. It is the culmination of the gospel, the good news, really the great news. It's the great news that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And if you're with me here and you believe that this is true, that it really happened, then this is the singular best news you could ever hope to hear. Jesus' resurrection brings us hope. It brings us purpose. And really, it should bring transformation to our hearts and to our lives. It's a reminder that death does not have the final say. Jesus does. And you may remember Jesus' words to Martha in Bethany on the occasion of the death of her brother Lazarus. And it's in John 20 when Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And then he said, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Not really. And you want to talk about legendary. That's a legendary statement, but it's only legendary if it's true. So Jesus asks Martha, do you believe me? Do you believe this? Do you believe what I'm saying is true? Because we have the rest of the story. We know what Martha did not yet know, that Jesus could raise the dead to life. He would momentarily do just that for her brother. Legendary. But what could be more legendary than coming back from the dead yourself? And it wouldn't be very long after these events of the raising of Lazarus where Jesus himself would come back to life after having been crucified and buried in a tomb. And if we believe in the one who rose from the dead on the third day, Jesus says that we too will rise from the dead in eternity. And really, Jesus' words speak of a twofold resurrection. One that happens spiritually in the present, in this life, and one that will happen physically at the end of time. And I would be naive this morning if I were to assume that every single person in here this morning buys into all of that. I would assume that there are some who are here today because their mom asked them to come and be here with them today so that they could have all of the family together on Easter. And then there's somebody here maybe because their girlfriend or their boyfriend pressured them and said, hey, we go to Easter on Sunday. We go to church and celebrate Easter on Easter Sunday. And some of you are here because it's, you know, that's what you did all your life. You just went whether you really believed it or not. But the resurrection isn't just a promise for the afterlife. It's a present reality. So are you living in the power of the resurrection today? The resurrection is not only a future hope, but it is a transformative power in the life of every believer. At Jesus' victory over death means that we can live our lives with purpose, and that we can live our lives with hope, and that we can live with this great, overwhelming sense of peace, even in a world that is so full of darkness. We're different people because of the resurrection. The joy that we have in our hearts isn't shaped by or changed by our circumstances or by this dark world that we're living in. And this resurrection power is what gets me out of bed every morning. I've been around for 59 Easters now. That's a lot of Easters. And so I've heard and or told this story that we're talking about today so many times that maybe, you know, even though I understand and I know all of the details and I know all of the nuances, and I know there are some of you here this morning, especially in the earlier service here this morning, who maybe know it even better than I do. And sometimes when you hear something enough, it just becomes kind of commonplace. When we first came here, Beverly and I, we lived in the church parsonage. This was 38 years ago, and so this was not here, but where I'm standing just behind me and up at the level where Jefferson Church Road is, was the parsonage, and that's where we lived for the first 10 years of our ministry. But when we first moved in, I got to tell you, the proximity to the railroad tracks was disruptive. You know, we would hear the whistle of the train every time it would come through, and it would make a bunch of noise, and it was disruptive. And if it came through at night, it was hard to sleep with it. My parents brought home a grandmother clock, not a grandfather clock. It was smaller. It was a grandmother clock from Switzerland when they had gone to Switzerland, and they brought it home. And I got to tell you, every 15 minutes, that thing annoyed me to death. For the first year that we had it, but then I just didn't notice it any more. And maybe you've heard all of this so many times that you've become kind of indifferent. Maybe it's become kind of commonplace to you. Some of you may every time you come to church, you know, this is what we're talking about, right? Or possibly every other time, you know, you might hear about the birth of Jesus. And that's great, because I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're with us this morning. But even for those of us who choose to be here every week, and we're together and we're united and we're here every week, sometimes we can hear these things so many times that they just kind of become so familiar that we lose the wonder and we lose the awe and the excitement of what actually happened. And maybe instead of excitement and invigoration, you just feel kind of ho-hum, or maybe even a little bit sleepy. And just saying the word, some of us have been up a long time today, just saying the word sleepy, you're probably thinking, he said, maybe you're spiritual sleepy. Don't let me yawn right now. Lord, don't let me yawn right in this moment. But I want to ask you, are you excited about Christ's resurrection this morning, or are you a little bit numb to how good this news of Jesus really is? How many of you still have an alarm clock, an actual physical alarm clock that sits on a nightstand there by your head beside the bed? Just by a show of hands, how many of you still use an alarm clock? Not very many. How many of you use your phone as your alarm clock? Yeah, I had a feeling. Even in the first service, that was the overwhelming response. Most people use their phones. But either way, how many of you love the sound of your alarm? It's a rhetorical question. How many times do you slap the snooze? See, I have an actual snooze button, and I can just read. I don't even have to look. I can slap the snooze button. The phone is a little bit more challenging than all of that. Let me ask you this. What if this was your alarm clock? Take a look at this. So I just want you to know I have no affiliation with Clocky and I get no commission for showing you that ad. But for $30, you can have that on Amazon and you can have it here the next day. I just have this feeling, though, that that's going to be like $30 that you just threw away because you're only going to use that clock once, right? It's going to go off next to you and it's going to shoot off your nightstand. It's going to start rolling. You're going to have to get up out of the bed and track that thing down. And in order to stop it, you're probably going to use your foot, right? Because it's just so disruptive. And you have to get out of bed in order to catch it and turn it off. And I hope and pray that this morning that an alarm will go off so that if you're spiritually asleep, that you'll wake up. And if you're numb to all this good news, that you'll actually rise up today and get up and let it transform your life. If you feel like you're spiritually dead or numb or apathetic or disconnected, Jesus offers new life for you today. The resurrection power isn't just something that we wait for. It's something that can change your heart and renew your mind and give you strength right now, today. And many of us have become spiritually lethargic. And we spend hours just kind of scrolling through other people's lives without actually living purposefully ourselves. Or, you know, we stop praying. We stop reading the Bible. We just kind of go through the motions without really loving Jesus. And if you're feeling that way today, if you feel apathetic, and it's common. It's common. It's not too late for you, right? If you're feeling apathetic, today could be a spiritual awakening, a legendary spiritual awakening to embrace the power of the resurrection and to embrace the hope that it brings. If you're just indifferent or if you don't really care, I pray that today the resurrection will bring an awakening to your heart, to the reality of the power that you can have in Jesus and the hope of eternity that he brings because he lives. The Apostle Paul, he wrote a letter to try to wake up the church in Ephesus. And in the first chapter, beginning at verse 18, Paul writes this. He says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that they may be filled with light, that the light might shine into the eyes of your heart to show you what is good, in order that you might know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and in his and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power, he says, is like the working of his mighty strength which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Paul speaks about being enlightened and experiencing incomparable great power of Christ's resurrection, he speaks. And it's this power, it's this life that we are invited to experience right now, today. So wake up to this hope and let it transform you from the inside out. In the fourth century, the church made a list. The early church fathers, they made a list, and you would recognize this list of seven sins. What did they call it? They called it the seven deadly sins. And it's pretty easy, you know, to figure out these motivations for most of these. You know, you have greed and you have lust and you have anger or rage and you have all these things that you know these things lead to sin. But then they throw in this one that just kind of you cock your head at it and you think, Sloth? Really? Sloth? I mean, we think of sloth, we sort of think of that cute, slow-moving character in Zootopia. They call him Flash, ironically, right? That's what we think of. We really don't understand, you know, as we think of laziness or we think of lethargy. Spiritually, it's more dangerous than that. Spiritual sloth is the apathy that causes us to fall asleep spiritually. Are we spiritually awake, or are we numb to the things of God? Have you become sleepy when it comes to your relationship with Jesus or even the resurrection? So in order to figure that out, I want you to ask yourself some questions. First of all, why are you here today? Right? I think that's a good question to start with. Why are you here today? And you know the answer to this question. Are you here because someone guilted you into coming, or because you know it's Easter and that's just, we always go to church on Easter, or it might even be a little more honorable than all of that somebody you love cared about you being here today and you love them and so you wanted to honor them and support them and you're here today. Or you're here because, are you here because everything in you wants to be here to celebrate this amazing, powerful, wonderful thing that God did in raising his only son, who sacrificed his life for your sake, raising him from the dead so that you might have this hope that we're talking about and this purpose and in this life and in the future, in eternity. The answer is revealing. Why are you here? And then if you're a believer, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, ask yourself this question. It's a hard question. It's a telling question. Have you grown spiritually? I mean, you might be thinking, what does that even mean? And I can get why you might ask that question. But again, Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, and throughout really chapters 4 and 5, he kind of describes what it looks like to live as Christ followers. And he talks about, he says, I insist that you no longer live as those, he says, Gentiles. He means unbelieving Gentiles. So I'm just going to throw in the word unbelievers. Don't live as though you don't believe. Don't be insensitive to the things of God, he says. He says, don't get caught up in sensuality, impurity, with a continual lust for more. He says, that was your former way of life. That's how you once were. And so we ask the question today, has any of that changed? Are you different today than you were before Jesus? You confessed Christ and you were baptized, then what? Have you grown in your understanding of Christ? Have you grown in your behavior as a result of your relationship with Jesus? Have you learned more about how to live as a result of reading Scripture? Have you grown in your love for God because of the amount of time that you've spent with him in prayer? How have you grown spiritually in the last 6 months, in the last year? And speaking of Scripture, do you pick and choose the parts of Scripture that you will like or accept? Are you like that guy who made it his mission in life to legalize marijuana in his state? And so when anytime he talked to somebody who might bring up the Bible or God or anything like that, he would quote this Scripture from Genesis that says, God gives us every seed-bearing plant for our enjoyment. That was his proof text there. What is that, Genesis 4:20? No. No, that's Genesis 1. That's just Genesis 1. And if you laughed at that, I'm not sure what to say to you. If you didn't know what I was talking about, God bless you for that. I'll just be blunt. Do you do that? I like what this verse says, right? Because, you know, that's a good one for me. I can do those things. And this one, not so much, because it's you know, it's hard. or it hits home for me, or it hits home for somebody that I love. Do you pick and choose the scriptures that you like or accept? Here's another question. Do you have any fear of God? Sticking with the Ephesian letter, Paul writes in 5:6, he says, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. I'm in a Bible reading plan that's just taken us up through. Now, we're bouncing around a little bit, but we've just finished 1 Samuel. And up to this point, the wrath of God has been on display. I have seen so much of the wrath of God. And I want you to understand that God is a jealous God, and He wants our obedience. And He demonstrates throughout Scripture that He's a wrathful God. But do you have a fear, a reverent fear of God's wrath? He goes on to say in verse 8, he says, for you were once darkness, not in darkness. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. And he says that is goodness and righteousness and truth. These are the fruit of the light. And on down in verse 10, he says, find out what pleases the Lord. Verse 11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. And so I asked this morning, are you just kind of sleepy when it comes to the seriousness of the things of God? Are you numb or indifferent, as though you're sleepwalking through your life with little thought for eternity? We talked about alarm clocks a few minutes ago, and whether you use your phone, or whether you have an actual alarm clock, or whether, you know, you have this demon clock on wheels that you have to get out of bed and step on to turn it off. An alarm needs to be disruptive. It needs to disrupt your ability to go back to sleep. And alarms in your life should get your attention. Sometimes life itself acts like an alarm. And I don't believe that in those seasons, whether they're just difficult seasons or challenges or you know, scary personal trials that we're going through, they disrupt our lives. And while I don't believe that God sends those to us all the time, maybe sometimes, I do know that He uses them. He uses them to wake us up. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says that godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation. Sometimes we need to be shaken out of our complacency to realize that life is fragile and our time is limited. Like that stupid $30 demon clock on wheels, whatever is going on in your life, you have to wake up and you have to rise up and catch it. The resurrection of Jesus should wake us up. His disciples, Jesus' closest followers, after He died on that cross and was buried in the tomb, they were together, but they were terrified that they were next. And they were together, but not one of them really believed truly in Jesus anymore. In their minds, they had backed the wrong horse, right? They had wasted the last 3 years of their lives following this man who they thought was going to be their king. And now he was dead and he was gone. And now their lives, because of him, were in grave danger. They were hanging out and they were hiding out in that upper room until they saw the resurrected Jesus. And then everything changed. The apostles' lives were transformed from fear and doubt to bold, world-changing faith by Jesus' resurrection. How do I know that? Billions with a B are celebrating the resurrection today. And it's because they spread the word. They shared the good news. Have you ever been a asleep and someone grabs you by your shoulders and shakes you awake. I don't recommend that. It's a good way to get punched in the face. Don't do that to someone, but because no one wants to be shaken awake, but some of us need to be shaken awake. We need a loving shake. Wake up. Everything is not okay. And when someone shakes you awake like that, it's because something is wrong and they need you to wake up and deal with it. Paul quotes this verse from somewhere. He doesn't tell us where it comes from. I couldn't find anything, you know, in the notes in the Bible about where this quote comes from. But down in Ephesians 5:14, he says, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, Christ will shine on you." I got to sing when I hear that verse. Probably nobody has sung while preaching in the last 3 months. I don't know. It's okay. It's okay. I just got to sometimes. You know what I mean? I got to sing when I hear or read that verse. It's a call to awaken from a spiritual slumber and to actually engage in the light of Christ. There's an alarm going off. You know what it is. Is it some addiction that's consuming and controlling your life and your spirit? Are your kids growing up and you've got your face stuck in your phone, just scrolling the time away? Are you living like this is all there is? There's an alarm sounding that says there is a heaven and there is a hell, and the stakes are just so high. Wake up, rise up. There's power in the knowledge of the resurrection of Jesus that can bring you out of darkness into his wonderful eternal light. There's this other alarm clock I saw when I was perusing alarm clocks. And I don't know if you've seen this or not. It's just a picture of it. I don't have a video or anything to show you. It's called the Sunshine Alarm Clock. And this one just kind of wakes you up by light shining on your face. And it starts low and it gradually gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter until you wake up kind of gently and rise up and face the day. I don't know if it would work for all of us. But let me tell you, friends, nothing shines brighter than the resurrection of Jesus. And as you live with him and for him and in him, instead of growing indifferent or dulled or numb, your life should shine brighter and brighter each day as you wake up more and more to hope and grace. I like what Romans 2:4 says. It's one of my favorite verses. It says it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. Awaken to the good news. You ever been awakened to good news? You know, wake up, honey. The baby's coming. I think that's good news. Honey, wake up. Daddy's coming home. Whatever it is, whatever the good news, have you ever awoken to good news? You have the opportunity today to wake up to the good news of Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. To celebrate grace, to celebrate hope, to rise up and let it change who you are, to let it be a legendary spiritual awakening in your life, because the resurrection is not just an event that doesn't really do anything in your life. It's the celebration of his power in our lives today and forever. Romans 8:11 says this. It says, "And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you," and that's what happens when we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. I hate to say in my heart, because that's really sort of locating it right here. It's just in my whole being of who I am and my presence. He comes and lives in us. And it says, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. See, that power can be yours today. That same power that raised Jesus to life from the grave can be yours. The resurrection isn't just something to celebrate. It's something to live for. The Bible speaks of one final alarm. And it's referred to, I think, about four times in Scripture. And it's called the trumpet call of God. But let me tell you, when you hear that alarm, it's too late to wake up and get ready. And Jesus says, we don't know the day or the hour. So he tells us we must be prepared. He said, keep watch. He said, stay awake, be alert. He urges us to be ready because no one knows. He says, not even the Son, only the Father knows. Are you ready? This is a call to live intentionally, to wake up to the urgency of this moment and to embrace the power of the resurrection in your life today. My friends, life is short, but heaven is possible because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in us, transforming us, waking us up from a spiritual slumber and calling us to live our lives with purpose. Father, we're just so thankful, so grateful to be able to celebrate this thing that you did today. And we remember how those ladies, they came early on Sunday morning to the tomb, and they noticed that the stone had been rolled away. And then angels appeared to them and said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he was laying. And then go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead. And is going ahead of you into Galilee. What a moment in history. What a moment for all of us who believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, that he is your Son, that he was the one who bore the penalty for each one of our sins. All of us lost on our way to hell without what you did for us in making a way through Jesus. And yes, our sins were nailed to that cross and died with him. But even that would not give us hope unless he had the power to come back in an epic, legendary fashion, to come back to life so that we might have that power and that hope to live our lives in him. We love you, Father, for all you've done for us, but most especially for our hope in the resurrection of your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song of decision, a song of contemplation, meditation, whatever you want to think of it as. Decide something today. Whatever it is, whether it's I've been asleep, I'm going to wake up, or whether it's I've never really even started my journey with Jesus, I want to confess him, I want to be baptized. Today is the day. Don't wait. Wake up. Come to him today. I'm going to be standing over here. If you want to talk about any of that, let's all stand. Let's join together.